I honestly feel that William Nylander has to live in a bubble right now.
I think he's done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. How would you feel about that, Ray, if you were in a contract negotiation and you heard that Wayne Gretzky had a comment about that negotiation?
Well, if it was me, I'd wonder why Wayne had any opinion on what I was doing. I think I'd be kind of flattered a little bit. And then if it didn't agree with my view, whether it was Wayne Gretzky or not, I'd be like, well, what the hell does he know about it?
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's your world, like whether it's Wayne Gretzky or, I don't know, pick any other player, unless you know exactly what's going on, like unless we know what Dubas has offered, what they've, you know, what they've countered with, unless we really know the parameters, we're all kind of like guessing along a little bit. Right. I mean, we can sort of understand where the, you know, where the needle needs to get to, but we don't really know, you know, how can we? I mean, unless the thing gets negotiated in public.
Right.
Well, and eventually I would think that's going to get out. Like, that'll be an interesting development. This is a Maple Leaf team that has now prided themselves for the past few years on being ironclad.
Yeah, privacy.
Nothing gets out. Yeah. We don't leak anything. That will be challenged in the next 3 weeks, and it will be extremely challenged if they trade him.
Well, let me
They trade him. I guarantee you, for the first time in years, something will leak about how greedy the player's been.
Let's go around the table here. What do you think about Jonas' statement today saying, here's what they should do. If he doesn't want to sign with the Maple Leafs, you don't trade him. You make him sit for the year.
Ray? Well, I can understand that. Go ahead, Ray.
My first thought to that is it shouldn't be vindictive. It should be, okay, what do we do that's best for our team in the long run?
Yeah, I guess that's all
like
you
if it's, okay, look, we got a great offer, then you make a trade. If you don't have a great offer, then you let him sit. You can't say, oh, I'm really mad at you, so I'm going to make you sit here for the year. Like,
right?
I don't know. That's not how it. To me, that's not the right way to look at things. You're trying to do the best you can to make your team the best that it can be, and you'd love to have William Nylander in it. And if you can't get him signed, and you don't have a really good trade offer, then you let him sit. But if you've got a good trade offer, maybe you look at that in a different light.
Yeah, I agree with you. Vindictive, that's not the right
approach.
No, it's
a business.
Yeah, you can't be. But it's all about the trickle effect, right? Like, what is happening right now is going to affect their approach when it comes to Marner and Matthews.
But you're right. But, like, if Kyle Dubas, let's just paint a picture here. If Kyle Dubas says, okay, we feel that this is a fair offer, it's not going to work out, let's revisit this in July. When our season's done, you know, you could. I think there would be a small percentage that would applaud Dubas for lack of better words, the balls to do that. And it's also a ripple effect. But, like, are you letting Austin Matthews sit out a full year if he wants $15 million a year and you can't fit him in?
No, but you've got a number on Matthews. This idea that it's a blank check and he fills it in, it's not true. It never has been true.
Right.
They've got a number for him, too. And if he comes above it, they've got to put their stake in the ground. They've got to negotiate.
And that's fair. I think it's very – like, I want to paint a picture here. Like, would you not – and I know the Leafs, this isn't the way that they do it, but at some point it is going to get put to the court of public opinion. And I'll give you a small example. Brendan Shanahan kind of broached that slightly when he – did his Q&A out of nowhere
about his Detroit days and all that.
Detroit days and that was almost like a little, hey, I'm going to give you a little nugget as to what we're thinking, and let's see the reaction around there. Maybe that would be, you know, if there's 10 pressure points, that may have applied one of them to see if people would get up. There would be an uproar, there'd be a talk, and kind of get the juices flowing. Like,
yeah,
I don't
nothing's
know.
Been said since then.
Exactly,
that,
right
that,
way.
That
so,
went over so well. Right? Like, they're like, right. There's no point to say anything.
But do you think in the next 2 weeks that either side would leak the numbers?
I think if he gets dealt, they get out. Absolutely. Because
okay, but so, Brian, hang on, let me interrupt. So, but who are you going to really believe? Max Pacioretty just went back to Montreal. They still, each side tells a different story about whether he asked to be traded or not.
Right,
right. Like, it can't be that hard. Either he did or he didn't. He says no. They say yeah. So you're like, huh, oh, well, there you go. So if they leak a number, the other side can easily say, no, they didn't offer that, even if they did.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're not gonna give you the piece of paper that shows the written offer on it.
Yeah, correct.
So you can always defend your position. I mean, people have already made up their mind. They already, whatever the numbers are, they've already made up their mind whether Nylander should sign or shouldn't sign or should be traded or shouldn't be traded. I don't know that. I mean, I didn't think it was going to get into this. Like to hear, I thought this would be done a long time ago. So I'm really curious. They're not as good a team without him as they are with. They could use him, and if they can't use him and they can't come to an agreement, and there's no trade, then I don't think you make one just to dump him. I think that would be a terrible move.
No, I agree with you, but I do think if it goes beyond December 1st and he's not signed, there will effectively be a trade demand on December 2nd. I think that's it. I can't picture Nylander playing here next year if he doesn't play here this year. And I'm just based on history, Ray, with this type of a hold, it's not a holdout, but contract negotiation where they can't come to terms. In reality, I'm not sure Nylander's here in 2 or 3 years anyway, because generally this kind of, it really sours the relationship. And at some point, Kyle Turris got moved on from PK Subban moved on. Ryan O'Reilly moved on. Like, it just, history is there.
Wouldn't that give you even more understanding of why Nylander's so hesitant or cautious about signing a deal here? Because if it's a six-year deal, if that's their seven-year deal or whatever they were talking about, or even if it's a little bit less, if on your road or your scenarios that he's going to get dealt or possibly be dealt in a few years, you want to be pretty sure you've got the right deal, because you might not be in the place you want to be.
What do you make of the
protect yourself?
Sorry, Ray. What do you make of the Pastrnak comparison? Because I went on Twitter. You say the word Pastrnak, and people are like, "Well, I bet you Pastrnak hates his contract right now because he's so underpaid." And everybody else's argument is, they got to pay this guy. Like, if the Pastrnak contract is out there, take it and sign it. But there's other people saying that Pastrnak probably hates his contract right now.
Well, I hope he doesn't.
No kidding.
You know, like, my agent was Steve Bartlett, and Steve was his sons now are in the business, and Steve's just an incredibly level-headed guy. And he gave me this advice when I signed one time. He's like, look, the second you sign this, I want you to be sure that you like it and you're happy, because eventually somebody's going to leapfrog you, and you can't be pissed off about it, because it just is. That's just the way it goes. So Pastrnak signed his deal. Now, he signed it at a time that, they were taking a little bit of a leap of faith. They were projecting that he was going to be a star player. And I remember when he signed, it seemed like a lot of money for him, for what he'd done. Right now, it doesn't seem like a lot of money. Like, right now, you're like, man, it is a lot of money, but holy crap, is that guy good. And William Nylander is not, at this stage, David Pastrnak.
I personally don't. I mean, I like William Nylander, but I don't ever see William Nylander getting to Pastrnak's level, personally. I think he's a very good player, but I think Pastrnak is an elite player, and there's differences. And now I still believe that Nylander can be, in a great season, an 80 to 90 point guy playing with Matthews, having that, that type of thing. But I...
Like, that's a big number,
it's
man.
It's a big number. That's what I'm saying. Like, when it comes down to it, is the guy a 70-point guy? Like, he's a 60-point guy 2 years in a row, and everyone thinks he's a goal scorer. He's 20 goals,
right.
22 goals. Like, okay, so can he get to 30? Probably. Well, what does 30 goals pay? Like, I think people are overthinking it, and when you start using comparables – like, they're in the wrong neighborhood thinking Pastrnak. Like, Pastrnak is far gone when it comes to William Nylander. Like, Pastrnak Nylander will never be the player David Pastrnak is, in my opinion, personally.
No, not even close.
That's just my opinion. Now, I hope that, for the Leafs' sake, that he becomes somewhere in that neighborhood, close to it, because that means he's an 80-point guy, and he's going to have tremendous success, and that translates to what the Leafs having success. But, like, I still come back to Nikolaj Ehlers. I look at Nick Ehlers, and I see William Nylander, a guy who's in and out of games, a guy who has flashes of brilliance, and then other times where he's sleeping where the coach has to kick his ass. Like, that's what
Ehlers just scored, right?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. He had gone like 26 games or 28 games back into last year without a goal.
Right.
And I'm gonna venture to say it'll be never that David Pastrnak goes 28 games without a goal.
Correct.
I think the guy's a stud. I think he's a star, and he's also got the amazing benefit of playing on a line that just fits. Like, oh my gosh, him and Bergeron and Marchand are just, it's such a fantastic line to watch. And he's the trigger guy on it. And he's in the right spot, and he's the right player for it. And I don't think the Leafs, you know, get as tied up in all this stuff. They made their comparables a long time ago. You know, made their offer, they've already worked through comparables both up and down, maybe higher ceiling and lower ceiling. And, you know, being emotional is good for a player. It's not good for any negotiation. And they just got to sit and stick to what they're doing. And as does Nylander. And eventually it'll come to a conclusion. And I thought this would be done a long time ago. So I don't have a great feel either way anymore, whether this will get done or not.
That top line in Boston, man, they've been doing it for a couple of years now. And on Saturday night, they put on a clinic. And we saw that a lot last April against the Leafs. And that is just the Maple Leaf kryptonite right now. And they're not alone, but there aren't many other teams in the league that are going to meet them in the playoffs. And Toronto's one of two or three teams that will likely meet Boston. How do they shut that line down? Or how do they contain that line between now and April?
Well, it's really kind of, when I watch it, it's really interesting. Usually I would say you take the guts of the line, the center of the line, and try and take them out of the game. So get somebody up tight to Bergeron. Don't let them handle the puck. But let's assume you can do that. The problem is then you got Marchand that runs all over the place with the puck. He's dynamic. He can turn sharply to lose players. He makes terrific passes. He's a scorer. So what makes that line to me most dangerous is, like a good power play, there's not one point of attack. There's two. On a power play, a good power play, like when the Leafs were rolling early, the point of attack was where? Was it Riley? Was it Marner? Was it Matthews? Like, you can't shut everything down. Oh, it went down low to Tavares. Oh, look at that. Now he walks to the front of the net. So, and that doesn't even get into Kadri. Well, for the Bruins, okay, so get somebody up in Bergeron's face. Great, now Marchand's got more room to roam with the puck. Or get somebody up into Marchand's face. Now Bergeron's got room. You can't be standing next to beside these guys the whole game. You can't shadow like you used to shadow. I think it's a real challenge to take that line out of their rhythm. I wouldn't envy the team that's got to try and do it in a playoff series. Maybe what you can do is try and limit their damage, because they're a one-line team, essentially, and try and beat them on the other three lines.
Yeah.
Ray, what do you make of the goaltender Garrett Sparks' comment saying that Pastrnak's shot was the hardest thing I've ever seen? I don't know. I didn't like it. What are your thoughts on it? I thought it was just
That one I didn't mind, though. It was the way he said something about, you know, they're making like 60-foot passes and one-timing them. And, you know, like, I don't know. It almost sounded to me, I think we're saying the same thing. It sounded like he was saying, you know, well, I can't do anything about that. You know, like absolving himself from making a save. Like, the Noodles, you're the goalie. You tell me. The Pastrnak goal, the one-timer when he ends up spinning and falling down.
Yeah.
Right? The great pass across, and he one-times it. It went right in the middle of the net, didn't it?
It did. I mean, Sparks was playing. Obviously, you have to front the puck, and then anything that goes through.
Is it too fast? Is it too fast to pass and too fast to shot? Because to me, where it went in the net, I'm like, that looked kind of funny.
Well, you've
got to
be able.
It could have been different, but it looked funny.
You're right, because I think he picked it up late, and by the time he picked it up, it's like behind you already. You know, and players always have that joke, Ray. I think you used to say it to me when in practice sometimes where, you know, goalie's looking for the puck, and it's always like, hey, it's behind you already.
It's behind you.
and that's, you know, I looked at those goals, and I'm like, he's finding the puck when he's hearing the crowd.
Right.
The crowd react.
I didn't like the team it was against. Right, yeah. Like I'm all for honesty and being a fun quote and all that kind of stuff, but you're the backup goalie, you're just trying to find your way in it, and you're pumping the tires of a line that has crushed your team and a line and a player that has crushed your team in the playoffs.
Right.
And right now Boston is probably the Maple Leafs' biggest rival, and Garrett Sparks is coming out here and making David Pastrnak sound like the greatest player of all time. I just don't like maybe that's an old-school mentality, but there's no way Babcock would have liked that. No chance.
Well, if they don't, then they should tell him. Because yeah. I think there's an honesty to Sparks. I think he's kind of like an open book. And you remember when he got the shutout back a few years ago and he was, like, crying in the interview? Like, he's like an open book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so maybe somebody needs to have a word with him if that really bothers them so much. But I don't think he would have thought anything more than maybe he was just really impressed. He went, holy hell, those guys are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, they are. I mean, he's not wrong. Yeah. It just, you know, it's one thing for us to say it. It's another thing for the guy who's trying to stop it. All right, buddy. Well, there's four games going tonight. I know that always rattles your cage that they're playing during the Hall of Fame, but
yes,
we'll
I don't
see.
Like that. I wish it was Hall of Fame night only.
Yep.
I just can't believe they can't quite. They got a lot of other days in the season to squeeze up four games here. Put them on another day, not tonight.
I'm with you. Enjoy it tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Talk to you then, boys. Bye.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.